Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as we get into what is potentially a Ruben Amorim transfer rage around the midfield. Also, we've got three ex-players criticising Manchester United. What's new there? And we've got injury updates. We've got more on potentially a goalkeeper leaving Manchester United and why Casemiro refused to leave Manchester United this summer. It's an action-packed Thursday. We don't normally get loads on a Thursday, but there's loads to get into this morning. In fact, just a little bit of breaking news we'll bring you. Dalot has withdrawn from the Portuguese squad with a muscle issue. So Dalot has withdrawn. Don't celebrate in the chat. Someone's just gone, yes. That's not good news. That's not good news. Madison says, I refuse to leave the chat. Careful of the mods, don't upset the mods. Hopefully they have their coffee and they're in a good mood. But yeah, just a little bit of breaking news, the low injury. We'll talk about that in a little bit because I want to get into the main bit. Kev's here. Kev, you should be at work, Kev. You definitely should be at work. I know you should be. But look, let's get into it. I want to start off talking about Ruben Amorim's transfer rage. This is, to be honest with you, I read a story this morning and I actually thought that's a load of nonsense. Footballtransfers.com or something like that. It was referenced on like Manchester Evening News or something like that. And it basically said Ruben Amorim was left very frustrated and in a rage on Monday because he wanted Conor Gallagher. And basically Sir Jim Radcliffe, Wilcox, everybody said, you're not having him. We've persuaded Maynooth to stay. And Amorim was saying, well, I don't want players here that don't want to be here. I've always been about that. You know, I've moved Rashford out. I've moved Garnacho out. And now you're telling me I've got to keep Maynooth here and I want Gallagher. Now, I read it and I went, what a load of nonsense. What a load of nonsense. And then I just saw this from Fabrizio saying that, what did he say? Manchester United have had a loan proposal rejected by Atletico Madrid for Conor Gallagher. United asked for Gallagher, but no plans to let him leave on loan. And look, it's very, very clear that one true aspect is that we did want Conor Gallagher. And I thought to myself, if we did want Conor Gallagher, what was going to happen to Maynooth? Like, seriously, where was Maynooth? Maynooth's game time would have been restricted even more because we would have had Conor Gallagher, Ugarte, Casemiro, Bruno and Maynooth. Was the plan to remove Maynooth and bring Gallagher in, or was the plan to keep Maynooth and bring Gallagher in? And I thought, you know what? We might be missing a point here and we'll never establish the truth. But what if Ruben Amorim was standing by his opinion that if you don't want to be here, you can go? And he's not happy with the club. I mean, look, I don't know. We might be reading between the lines here a little bit, but Sir Jim Radcliffe has been reported by Fabrizio Romano as getting involved in this. Sky Sports this morning are saying that Jason Wilcox didn't think a midfielder was a priority. The story is developing all the time around the midfield. Now, my information has always been Ruben Amorim wants Maynooth at the club. Wilcox and Amorim desperately wanted a midfielder. We're now starting to get, well, is that the truth? You know, is that the truth? Would Amorim have let Maynooth go on loan if he got Conor Gallagher? Did Sir Jim Radcliffe step in and say, we're not doing that, we're keeping Maynooth? In which case, it could just feed into what I call the bottom feeders, because they just want to feed shit into the club, that, you know, this is my problem. This is my problem. And even we're talking about it, but it is a new show. it's going to get spoken about, it is already. If there's an inch, people take a yard. And my point around that is, Man United have been very insistent that if you don't want to be here, you can go. We clearly did go for Conor Gallagher. We didn't get Conor Gallagher and we forced Maynard to stay. Do you think we had total and utter unity on that decision? Do you think in the boardroom, Amorim, Wilcox, Berarda, Favell and Sir Jim Radcliffe sat there and went, let's keep a player that doesn't want to be here. Let's not move for Conor Gallagher. We clearly did move for Conor Gallagher. So what is the truth amongst all this? Because it will probably never come out, but there could have been a scenario where Amorim went, you know what, if he doesn't want to be here and he wants to go on loan, get him on loan, get me Conor Gallagher. And United went, we can't get you Conor Gallagher, so we've got to keep Maynard. In which case, that doesn't fit with anything I've just said. Maybe that was what happened. Maybe it was as simple as, if Maynard wants to go on loan and it's not a sale, let's do it, Napoli, whatever, but get me Conor Gallagher. And the club's gone, we'll try that. Didn't work. You end up with Maynard. In which case, that's a failure. That's a failure because you're saying, let's get somebody in as a replacement, let him go on loan, he'll come back in a year. And we didn't get that done either. So I don't know. Read into it what you want. But I think what we're left with is a situation where a player that wanted to go is here, a manager that maybe a little bit, you know, might have lost a bit of trust in him because of that. And we definitely 100% tried to get another player in on transfer deadline day and we didn't. And that's where we are. And we got to go with what we've got. I did find it quite interesting, though. We've got three of these to talk about. Some of them are very interesting. I mean, Rio Ferdinand and Michael Owen's take is just incredible. I'm going to have to wait and get through some proper news before I talk to you about that. I find it absolutely madness what they've said to do with Harry Kane again. I mean, but look, this is why communities like this are so important, because we can bounce off each other and mainly talk sense. But Louis Zaha has been talking sense. Now, I don't think Zaha is an ex-player that always talks sense, but he's been talking to The Athletic. Basically, he said, I think Cesco is going to struggle. And I think Man United have made the same mistake again. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to bring this in because it's not something we've spoken about. And although I think some ex-players just mumble rubbish a lot of the time, every now and again, you do get something quite interesting. And what he basically said was, and it's to do with the midfield, and it follows on from what we were talking there, he's another ex-player like you. You're not ex-players. But he agrees with you. He said, basically, they haven't solved the biggest issue, and that's the midfield. And I think Šeško's going to struggle because of it, because Man United have made the same mistake again. He said, when I was at Manchester United and you brought a young player in, whether it was a Wayne Rooney or whoever, you had a surrounding of experienced players there to help them and support them. And the young player tended to bring something in unpredictable, something different, so that when you were playing Everton or Fulham, they knew that you had experienced good players, but then you had this younger player that was just, you know, unpredictable, and United used that to their advantage. And he's right. I'm old enough to remember when Ryan Giggs came into the team and you had people like Mark Hughes and Brian McClare, etc., and Brian Robson, and Giggs gave us that unpredictability. He wasn't the player that was solving the problem. He came into the team with a lot of experience around him and gave us the unpredictability. The same thing happened with Cristiano Ronaldo and Wayne Rooney. What United do now is we throw young people in. And Louis Zaha was saying, look, if you look at what happened with Rasmus Højlund, he was thrown in to be the solution at 20 years of age with very little experience around him and very little support. Man United have gone and done it again with Šeško. And the reason he says that is because, yes, Cunha and Mbeumo were good signings, but they're not established Man United players. And behind them, there is no midfield. And that is a problem. So he is basically saying that he thinks that it could be a difficult job for Šeško, because if you haven't got a midfield, you can't get hold of a game. If you can't get hold of a game, you can't create chances. And if you can't create chances, then the striker's going to struggle. So it's an interesting take, because in some ways, I think the stats so far this season may dismiss that, in the sense that we have created chances. Having said that, we've played Fulham and Burnley and we didn't create many chances against Arsenal. So in harder games, when the midfield doesn't work, if it doesn't work, then maybe that would be a potential issue. But look, it's an interesting take, and I'm hoping we're not going to go down that road. The one thing I would say in response to that is that Rasmus was 20 and had a much worse attack behind him. Garnacho, Rashford, Antony, whatever you think about them, very selfish, not really looking for the pass, not really looking to create. In fact, I was laughing my head off the other day. I like Micah Richards, but he was saying to Rashford in their interview, you need to... It was something like, they did an interview, Lineker and Richards, and I think Shearer was there as well, and they were talking to Rashford. And they basically said, Micah said to Rashford, you need to shoot more, or words to that effect. You know, your problem with you is you're too unselfish. I nearly fell off my chair. I went, he's unselfish. He needs to shoot more. This is the big problem with Garnacho, Rashford and Antony. They bloody shot too much. They didn't pass enough. Anyway, it's not our problem. My point is, Rasmus came into the United team as a 20-year-old. He had one season in the Italian league and he had selfish players behind him. Cesco's coming in. He's been at Salzburg, Leipzig. He's also been there for years. He's also played Champions League for years. And he's got people like Mbeumo and Cunha behind him and Bruno in the midfield and hopefully Mason Mount.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So I think it's a different situation for Cesco. I think he's more experienced. And I think also he's got better creators behind him. I mean, just look at what Cunha and Mbeumo did in the Premier League last year. They are creative players. So, but I do think that the midfield will be an issue, of course, 100%. Talking about the midfield, we're going to be a bit all over the place this morning. Lots to get into, but obviously I've not even read your comments yet. But please do get your comments in. Love to hear from that. But what I do want to do is make sure that I don't miss some of this topical stuff. So I've got three topical stories to talk about you. Then I'm going to talk about what Rio Ferdinand said, because it's just laughable. And then we've got a couple of other bits I want to get into. But this is breaking news from Portugal. Dalot has left the Portugal chat camp due to muscle discomfort. Now, we don't know the extent of this injury. We had an injury update yesterday morning, or maybe it was the day before, about Cunha and the hope that he'll be back for the Manchester derby. Martinez may not be back until after the next international break, and Mount could be out for anywhere up to 3 weeks or longer. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't think Mount will be back for the Chelsea game, but we'll see. With regards to Dalot, muscle discomfort, we're only, you know, the thing about international breaks is people think they're long and they can be frustrating, but actually you miss... You know, you are training with your Portuguese side. Even if you've not been called up, you're training with United. So if you pull out and miss a week, it doesn't automatically put the low fit for Manchester derby. Like, if he's got muscle discomfort, that means he can't play. He can't play. He's got to come back to Manchester. He's got to be assessed. They might say leave it for a few days. He might not be able to be training for a week, maybe 2 weeks. So it does severely question the fact of what's wrong with Dalot. And international teams don't normally send players back for minor things because, you know, unless, you know, they might have done, but ultimately international teams have their own interests at heart. So what is the injury with Dalot? And if he's out, what does that mean to the first team? A lot of people would be celebrating this because they don't think Dalot's very good. I don't celebrate any injury because I think that, to me, although I wouldn't start Dalot, he's still an option from the bench and he's still a very important player for Manchester United. He's certainly a very important player for Amrin, whether we agree with that or not. And what we're starting to see here, unfortunately, is what we're going to see. And it's that hidden enemy that will bite us for not maybe doing certain things in the transfer window. And that is injuries. Injury FC. We've already seen Mazraoui's not kicked a ball yet. Xerxes is coming back from an injury. I mean, Onana's coming back from an injury. Some would say he was still injured against Grimsby. Now we've got Dalot. We've also got Cunha and Mount. I mean, look, since the start of pre-season, Mazraoui, Xerxes, Onana, Mount, Cunha, and now Dalot. Six. And we didn't play in the Club World Cup. So this is something that's going to be, I think, raise its head again and again and again. Further to that, we've also got this coming in from Goal. Casemiro chose to stay at Manchester United rather than move to Al Nassr to help his chances of playing at the 2026 World Cup. Look, a few people have been going on about this morning. I don't think we're really in a position to moan about Casemiro staying now, considering we've only got four midfielders. He's suddenly a very welcome addition to our squad. However, in relation to Casemiro, he's not quite Antony, who I've seen a quote from this morning slagging off Manchester because Sevilla is a better city. Surprise, surprise. We could all say stuff about Antony. Let's be better. But Casemiro's certainly not Antony sat there waiting to go to Betis or Garnacho waiting to go to Chelsea. But in a way, he is another of those players because Manchester United have been trying to sell Casemiro for two summer transfer windows now. He won't shift because he's happy to collect 300 grand a week and run the contract down to next summer where he can make a load more money. And you can say what you like about Casemiro, and I think he is a model professional, definitely. You know, he's not a problem. He puts his match day tweet out whether he's getting picked or not every match day. But, and he's also a model professional who, in my opinion, is one of the great holding midfielders in the modern game history. But he's running his contract down. Absolutely. Absolutely. If he'd have had a really good offer this summer, he'd have took it because he knows that Man United want to get rid of him. So he's running his contract down and he's doing it because there's a World Cup and he's back in Ancelotti's plans. He was never going to go anywhere. So look, the story's the story. We know about it. What are we going to do about it? We've got four midfielders. Casemiro's going to be gone in the summer. We're definitely not going to renew him. It's the final year of Casemiro. I think we've just got to hope for those Europa night miracles, haven't we? Which I think are going to be hard to come by considering his, you know, lack of mobility. But this was that other thing I was going to mention. Manchester United are interested in strengthening their midfield options, but director of football, Jason Wilcox, does not see it as the top priority. That's coming in from Sky. If I was Jason Wilcox, I'd be pulling an Isak here. I'd be threatening legal action because you don't want to get associated with that. I don't know whether you saw our video on That's Football yesterday, but it's entitled Isak Legal Action. So basically, the Telegraph wrote a story about Isak saying that insiders had said that Isak was, you know, seemingly not putting the effort in so that Newcastle didn't get Champions League football, so it'd be easier for him to go. Quite rightly, he's threatened legal action on that. I don't think he'll go through with it. But if I'm Wilcox, I'm bloody ringing Sky up and saying, do you want legal action? Because you don't want to be associated with that. I think Wilcox and Berarda have come out of this summer. I mean, look, you give me your opinion. What do you think of Wilcox? I mean, it's a great question. What do you think about our director of football, Jason Wilcox, and our CEO, Omar Berarda, right now with the window shut? In my opinion, I actually come at it from an opinion of, look, it's a work in progress. I've not made my mind up yet. Or I still do heavily side on the fact that I think it's a very hard job to work for this ownership, which is still predominantly Glazer. That's my stance on it. I don't actually think that Jason Wilcox, who is inexperienced himself, or Omar Berarda, who is new to being a CEO, I don't think they're the problem. I think they're the in-between. Like, they're the in-betweeners, like Neil and Jay. No, they are the in-betweeners because you've got Amrim's needs, and we know what they are. He wanted a midfielder. He wanted a goalkeeper. He wanted two number 10s. He wanted a striker, and apparently he wanted a right-back. You've then got the people at the top are saying, you can't have that. You can't have that. You're not doing that. We can't afford that. I think Berarda and Wilcox, in my opinion, and more Amrim. I think Wilcox is a football person. And look, dealing with that, Jason Wilcox doesn't see a midfielder as a priority. If I read that and I was Ineos or the Glazers, I'd sack him. I'd go, if that's my director of football, he needs to be sacked. So if I'm Jason Wilcox, I'm getting on the phone to Sky and I'm saying, who's told you that? Because I do not want to get associated with that. I do not want to get associated with that at all. You know, If the Telegraph did a piece on me saying Mark Goldbridge thinks that Onana should be given another chance and he's got the potential to be a United great, I normally ignore most negative things about me, but I probably would take legal advice on that and say, look, there's a line. There's a line. You can start with all your bloody Forest fan stuff. I ignore it, but that's a line. You're not gonna cross that. You know, that's not banter. That's the defamation of character. So I think if I'm Jason Wilcox, I might, well, unless it's true, in which case we've got a major problem. But I, from what I've heard, Wilcox wanted rid of Amorim. Not Amorim. Oh God. Oh God. The Telegraph. Wilcox, according to Goldbridge, wants, no, don't. No, Wilcox wanted rid of Onana with Amorim, and Wilcox wanted a midfielder. And let's not forget, the director of football will be massively involved in speaking to Conor Gallagher, speaking to Belaba, which we did. So, you know, it might be a rare thing for me to do, but I'm going to defend Jason Wilcox on that. I think it's a very dangerous thing to say that he didn't prioritise a midfielder, because I think everybody I listen to in this chat, everybody I look at online, even the ex-players, all talk about a midfielder. So... I don't believe that for one minute. And I think it's unfair. And look, you know what? Sometimes we've got to defend different people. Sometimes we've got to defend players. Sometimes we've got to defend Wilcox, Berada, as much as we defend Amorim, because I think that's a very unfair statement that, again, destabilizes and divides opinion. Make sure you smash the like and subscribe. Right, I've got to read you this. So this, to me, is...
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
A bit like that Sky Sports thing. I've just got to talk about this because I think, you know what? It's almost like, you know, like when something's bad and everybody goes, it's really bad because of this. It's really bad because of this. It's really good. It's really bad because of this. Good point. Yeah. It's really bad because of this. What? It's bad, but you're talking rubbish. Well, that's what I'm coming to here. So I read this article this morning, and apparently Rio Ferdinand's done an interview with Michael Owen. I mean, that ain't doing views, I'm telling you. You missed there with that. Michael Owen is the worst person, I think, to interview. He's very, very up his own arse. And obviously, I don't think he's Mr. Interesting, is he? But they were talking about Manchester United, right? And I can't remember whether they said it was Man United's biggest mistake or big mistake or whatever. But basically, Rio's talking to Michael Owen and he's basically saying the big mistake Man United made was not signing Harry Kane and Declan Rice. And I felt like grabbing my phone and throwing it out the window, because I thought, you know what? There's so much intelligent conversation around Man United's problems. And it, in a way, it gets spoken about and spoken about, and it's hard for people like Sir Jim Ratcliffe not to notice it. But when you get comments like that, it totally and utterly dilutes every decent argument. Because Man United's biggest mistake is not signing Harry Kane or Declan Rice, because anybody with a bloody brain knows that that was impossible. But I could, you know, I'm like, we're having really good conversations about why we didn't buy a midfielder. Is Lemens, you know, has he been brought in quick enough? Did we prioritise the goalkeeper quick enough? Should we have bought two number 10s? Are we ready for this season? You know, our team's moving away from us because we haven't got the right finances in. And then you get, you know, a very loud and credible voice saying things like Man United's biggest mistake, or Man United's mistake was not signing Harry Kane and Declan Rice. Now, some of you in the chat might be going, but it's true, but it's not true. It's not true, is it? Because I thought we'd buried the Harry Kane to Man United mistake like a cat buries a stinky shit under some bark, because it was never going to happen. Let's just talk through why Man United didn't sign Harry Kane and Declan Rice, and why, you know, I cannot blame Sir Jim or Ineos, I can't blame them because they weren't here. But I can't even blame Glazers for this. I can't even blame Murta for this, right? Harry Kane left Bayern Munich the summer we bought Mount, Onana and Rasmus, okay? Now, would I have bought Harry Kane then? Perfect. I'm a cat again. Perfect. I used to be able to roll my R's. Perfect. Perfect. It's not working. It's like trying to start a bloody old Skoda. Perfect. 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 All right, okay. I'm annoying myself now. Harry Kane would have been perfect. Absolutely perfect, right? But it's a bit like saying we should have bought Erling Haaland from Man City. Manchester United never could have bought Harry Kane. So anybody who says we made a massive mistake not signing Harry Kane, they don't live in a real world. And I'm not surprised it's come from one of those two, because they don't live in reality. We couldn't have signed Harry Kane for this simple reason. One, we would never have spent £120 million on a striker. And two, Spurs were never going to sell him to a Premier League club. And three, Harry Kane was never going to leave Spurs to go to a Premier League club. So how can it be a mistake on Man United's part when we couldn't afford him, Spurs wouldn't have sold him to us, and Kane wouldn't have done it? Harry Kane had 1 year left on his contract. He didn't do a Trent. He got money for a club he loves, and he went abroad to Bayern Munich. Spurs were not going to sell him to any other Premier League club, and Manchester United couldn't have afforded to even put an offer on the table that might have made them flinch. So how can that be a mistake? And this annoys me slightly, not a lot, but it annoys me slightly that we are talking about real Man United issues and you get a conversation about Man United's biggest mistake was not signing Harry Kane. It's like child's play. Now, if we bought Harry Kane, we couldn't buy Harry Kane. It was never going to happen for the reasons I've just said. As for Declan Rice, who was also mentioned, again, fantasy football. Where were we going to buy Declan Rice from? Again, it was the same summer that we bought Mount, Onana and Rasmus. Declan Rice was never going to choose Man United over Arsenal for a start. Also, they spent £105 million on Declan Rice, which we never would have been able to afford or spent. And thirdly, we didn't even buy a midfielder that summer. We didn't buy a midfielder. I think we got Amrabat on loan. So it wasn't a priority for Manchester United. Maybe it should have been, but we were never in for him. We never would have had that money. If we're going to talk about mistakes that Manchester United have made, let's talk about real mistakes. Let's not talk about hyperbole nonsense like Declan Rice and Harry Kane that were just never going to happen. I want real conversation about the mistakes that Manchester United have made. And they are not. They are not. I cannot believe in 2025, people are still talking about not signing Harry Kane being a huge mistake. On whose part? Where was this possible? It never was. Never was. Right, let me get into some of your comments before I go back to a couple of topical things around the goalkeeper. Luke Shammy says, I'm a first-time caller. You're a first-time chatter, but I know what you mean. I'm very pro the manager. I'm very afraid that we have a learner driver coach who's very good, but may not have experience for the present situation. Becoming a martyr to wake the club up to the free fall that is happening. A very profound comment there from Luke as well. I think what I would agree with you, Luke, is that there's a lot of inexperience at Manchester United. We're fully aware of that, which is probably what Louis Saar was talking about and probably what a lot of us are aware. Lemens is a learner driver. Yoro is a learner driver. Dorgu is a learner driver. Sesko is a learner driver. Ahmad is still really a learner driver. There's a lot of inexperience in that team. And our experience is on an egg timer, really. Casemiro's gone in a year. Bruno's probably gone in a year. Maguire's probably gone in a year. So there is an imbalance at the moment. Daily Hibbert says, I can see Amrim having a predicament next week after we beat City and Bruno is man of the match playing in the 10. Then Mount and Cunha return, says Daily. I mean, look, there is no guarantee. I don't think Bruno will play as a 10 next week. I hope he does. That's where I think his best position is. I want him to play there every week. But I think his 10s next week will be Mbeumo and maybe Ahmad. And then he'll put Sesko up front and Mazraoui might be back to play right back. I think Bruno will be in the midfield. Justin Law says, Delo is saying injury, trying to come back early to master his spot. He doesn't want to lose it. Sadiq, thanks for being a member for 2 months. What do you think about Mal playing in the midfield, says Sammy? I think he's injured. And I think putting an injury-prone player in a high-demanding position is a recipe for disaster. In some ways, I think Mount might be better than Bruno in getting the ball into Cunha's feet, but I don't think he's got the stamina or the tenacity in the tackle of a Bruno. And I don't think Bruno's got that much tenacity in the tackle. Seth says, Mainoo is great, but his style of play is not what Amrim needs. He needs a midfielder that can distribute the channels with long passes and can control the tempo, says Seth. Oh, Seth. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, Seth, but you know when you said distribute to the channels with long ball, long passes, all I can see is the horrible diagonal that I hate. And answers, please. I don't know. I don't know the answer to this question. Why is it that Manchester United in the last 6 years have become obsessed with, I mean, is it Harry Maguire? The only thing I can think is Harry Maguire came into the team and we started doing long diagonals. But he's not the manager. He started off under Ollie. It proceeded to go through Rangnick and Ten Hag, and now it's going through Amrim as well. It's this obsession with the diagonal long ball, and I hate it. You know, there's nothing more depressing in Man United's gameplay than a long diagonal from the centre-back to Delo at left wing-back. So we're hitting a long diagonal to a guy who hasn't got a left foot. And I think, you know what? As it flies through the air, you can actually go and make yourself a cup of tea as well. Like, it's just so uninspiring. You know, the ball's flying through the air. Everyone's looking at it going, oh, it's all right, it's going to the low. Then he controls it and passes it back to the left back, who gives it back to the centre back. Oh, I just don't like the long diagonal. And it's got nothing to do with Amrim. It's just something that sort of, we used to be a team that got players in the box and crosses into the box. We're now a team that's more known for a long diagonal to the fullback. Anyway, I've never understood forcing youth into the biggest club in England. Let's take a slow look. Let's take it slow, like a date with Margot Robbie, says Justin. Boom, Justin. Mainoo wanting to start more games doesn't mean he doesn't want to be at the club, says RNK.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I have no words. I have no words. I mean, I don't even know if I'm meant to react to that. I mean, have we not been talking about this for 10 days now, that Mainoo wants to leave on loan but doesn't want to leave permanently? Well done. Media is doing what it always does. Jump on any story that makes United look like it's in chaos. The media trying to distract the fans yet again, says Patrick. Yeah, and I think this is a very intelligent comment from Patrick, and I wouldn't expect anything else. It's exactly that. I don't like the Jason Wilcox story at all. I really don't like the story that Jason Wilcox doesn't want a midfielder or doesn't prioritise a midfielder, because we know for a fact that Ruben Amorim did prioritise a midfielder. He spoke about it quite openly on the US tour about needing intensity and speed in the midfield, and we know that we haven't got anybody who's got that. We know that we went for Baleba, and we know that we went for Gallagher. So we know we want a midfielder. Amrim wants a midfielder. You pit the manager up against the director of football. You've got your story. And the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I think you got to get ahead of a story sometimes. I think Patrick's absolutely right. So Wilcox didn't want a midfielder. Amrim did. Director of football against manager, board against manager. Results not that great. Vote, you know, all that sort of stuff. Add into the equation that if we were going for Conor Gallagher, which we did, what did that mean for Mainoo? Like, what did that mean for Mainoo? Add into the story that Sir Jim Radcliffe got involved in Mainoo staying. Have you got a conflict there? Did Amrim say, let Maynou go on loan. I want Gallagher in return. And then Sir Jim said, we're not doing it. We're keeping Maynou. In which case, you've got the board getting involved in team selections again, which is why, you know, people like Jose lost their job. So, look, I agree with you, Patrick. All this noise is petrol to the media. Of course it is. But the trouble about Man United is we don't get spoken to like you do certain... I mean, look, I'm doing a lot of things with the Bundesliga at the moment and I'm very impressed with it. I love the crowds. You know, there's some great, great football, great goals being played, and a lot of this I'm learning. What I'm not learning, and anybody who's watched this channel for a long time will know, I've always admired the way that most German clubs communicate with their fans. Now, I think this is a subject a symptom of 50 plus one, which is where the fans own at least 50% of the club. So the people in power are more accountable to the fans. But at Dortmund and at Bayern Munich, you get spoken to on a regular basis by CEOs and sporting directors. Regularly, they communicate with their fans. Obviously, that will be a direct impact of being accountable to your fans because of, you know, 50 plus one. In England, it isn't a thing. We are treated like mushrooms and fed on shit, and we're not respected. But I think a lot, if I was working at Manchester United, I would be saying, and I'd probably be hitting my head against the brick wall, I would be saying to people like Wilcox and Berarda and Radcliffe, you need to speak more to the press because there is too many grey areas for us to manage, you know, in communications, within the club, whatever, because it's too many grey areas, because they can write a story on Sky saying that Wilcox didn't want a midfielder. That's instantly going to plant a seed of, you know, division between Amrim and Wilcox. And there's nothing you can do about it because it's out there. But if Wilcox does an interview, you know, and words it in a way where, you know, you don't have to say I desperately wanted a midfielder, but look, communicating more, even if it's just to validate and support your manager, will not leave that air of, you know, potential that maybe they're not aligned. You know, you don't have to come out and say, I didn't say that. I desperately wanted a midfielder, but you could come out and say, look, it was a challenging summer transfer window. We feel we've done the best business we could do. Obviously, we're working with Ruben. We're aligned on everything. And, you know, whilst there will be frustrations, this is early part of the project. You put that out, everyone goes straight away. He's aligned with the manager. He's open to the fact that there might have been some frustrations, but, you know, they're happily working together. Those sort of things should be happening more at Manchester United because it kills a lot of this stuff that Patrick is talking about. But we've never done it and we probably never will do it. And Jose Mourinho said it nearly a decade ago. At Man United, you're the manager, you're the director of football, you're the CEO, you're the owner, because no one else ever talks. Anders, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much for that. Thanks for getting your badge in. Really appreciate that. John United says, player pundits keep getting worse. One is saying our manager only still has a job because he's attractive. I couldn't believe that. I did speak about it yesterday, didn't I? At some point, I can't remember where I said it. I did say it on here. I couldn't believe Carragher said that. Madness. Others are making up fake signings that were never happening. Crazy time, says John. John. You make a great point, and it's something that I wish it irritated United fans more, but some of them will just go, well, they're right. Amrimat. Because in reality, like, we've got 4 points from nine. The only game we lost in the Premier League, we shouldn't have lost. We should be unbeaten in the Premier League. Grimsby doesn't help us. I saw a tweet from Beth yesterday and she nailed it perfectly, saying that if that Grimsby game hadn't happened, the Premier League isn't terrible. We did beat Burnley. It's early season. We got the job done. We should have beat Fulham and we shouldn't have lost to Arsenal. And we've actually created a lot of chances. The Grimsby game sort of does us in. You've got Pep Guardiola, two losses out of three. You've got Emery, who hasn't scored a goal and has got 1 point out of nine. And you've got Eddie Howe, who's got 2 points from nine. They should be the story. Man United's the story. Even though we haven't started off that, look, we finished 15th last year. 4 points from nine is not the end of the world. You know, it's not the end of the world, but you already know they're looking at United all the bloody time. It's like last season hasn't, you know, hasn't ended in their head. It's always Man United. And look, hated, adored, never ignored is great when you're winning. But when you're trying to build something, it can get quite frustrating for those of us who want to build something, especially when you're trying to build something with one arm behind your back. I don't think the manager is looked after by this club, has always been my stance, internally and externally. Great point, John. Personally, I don't mind Mount in midfield, but there are two problems. He's not reliable and he cannot be paired with Bruno. That would be a disaster, says Nigel. Well, talking about our start to the season, you're 1-0 up against Fulham. And for what, 10 minutes, you've got Mount and Bruno as your midfield too. You know, regardless of my backing of Amrin, that was criminal, and you're absolutely spot on. That never should have happened. Justin Law says, Mark, since is an international break today, the Dallas Cowboys start the NFL season against the Eagles. Do a watch along tonight. I only do a Super Bowl watch along, mate. But I had completely forgotten that the NFL is back, which is obviously very exciting if you're into that. I'll certainly be keeping an eye on it. Melvin Wright says, Mount is too fragile. He is made of glass. Thank you very much for that. Just on the goalkeeper situation as well, I know I started on that last night. So Onana and the Saudi Pro League has been mentioned again this morning. But I think of more interest, we've had a story about Binda potentially going on loan to Turkey as well. So it looks like, in relation to the goalkeeper, what morning show was it? I finished with that the other day. I literally said that and I ended the show. We won't have Binda or Onana here by the end of the international break, I don't think. One of them will be gone. Tom Heaton is here. Lemens is here. Onana is here. And Binda is here. I know for a fact that Manchester United will not be carrying four goalkeepers. This is a club that sacked half its workforce. This is a football club that is desperately trying to save money. They're not going to carry four goalkeepers financially. They won't do it. And look, from a footballing point of view, it's bloody ludicrous. We're not in the Carabao Cup. We've got no cup game until January. We don't even need three goalkeepers, let alone four. So one of them is gone in the next 2 weeks. The question's going to be which one it is. I think Onana makes the most sense because I think Binda may well play against Man City and you don't want to play Onana against Man City. The bloody Man City fans will be singing Pratt Man. I mean, somebody said that needs to be released on Spotify because it would go into the top 10. It's everywhere. He can't play in goal. He can't play in goal. So I think one of them does go on loan. The interesting thing is I'd keep an eye on Turkey. Obviously, Binda is Turkish and Onana has been linked there. One of those two players will be moved out. I just hope it's the right one. I do not want the James Garner effect where you remove the player that you can and not the player that you should. And when I talk about James Garner to Everton, Man United sold him because it was the only offer on the table and they needed money. He wasn't even in the top five players they wanted to get rid of, but they couldn't get rid of the five players they did want to get rid of. So I hope that we get an offer in for Onana and we move him on. Because if we move Binda on, Onana could be back in goal.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
If Lemens doesn't start against Man City, which is terrifying. I mean, I don't want Binda in goal against Man City, but at least he's been in goal against Fulham and Burnley and Arsenal. I'd stick with Binda over Onana every day of the week. But that might be a reason why Binda has more interest. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. But as I said it on Monday, Tuesday morning show, right at the end. One of those goalkeepers won't be here at the international break. And that is certainly the plan for Manchester United. They can't carry four goalkeepers. Footballing set doesn't make any sense. What are we going to do? Put three keepers on the bench. I mean, we normally put two keepers on the bench anyway, which I find ridiculous. No other football club in the Premier League puts two goalkeepers on the bench, do they? It's absolutely madness, really. Here we go. This is exactly the look. I don't know whether this is the same source I've got it, but I've just seen a tweet here. Ruben Amorim has been left frustrated. This is from Transfer News Live. Ruben Amorim has been left frustrated with Manchester United's decision to reject Mainoo's loan request. The Portuguese manager doesn't want to have players in his squad who make it clear they don't want to be here, especially as Conor Gallagher was a possible late signing. So that's coming in from Steve Kay, who transfer expert for transfers.com, caught offside. I mean, look, it's tentative, but I wouldn't be surprised if that, you know, sort of grows. Rob Dawson says Man United are still exploring exit routes for Malacia. I'd forgotten we still had him at the football club, to be fair. Just a little thing on Ten Hag, if you're interested. Ten Hag was sacked because he didn't get along with anyone at the club, not even with his own staff. The players didn't understand why push-ups was as important as ball work. The atmosphere within the club was extremely cold. The players had no idea what they were supposed to do during the match. He's now considered the worst coach in the history of his club. I feel bad for Ten Hag. I do. I think there's a very good coach there. I just think, you know, look at Oli at Beşiktaş. Look at Mourinho at Fenerbahce. You know, it's almost, you're almost like cursed. I don't think there is a manager that's done well after being at Manchester United, is that Van Gaal's career disappeared. Moyes has done all right, to be fair. But it's, yeah, it's a bit of a curse, isn't it? At least you get well paid, I suppose. That's the main thing, isn't it? Sorry, I'm just going to go to the chat here now. Don't want to do push-ups are good, Lightning. If I could be asked, I saw something last night that Floyd Mayweather used to do about 2,000 push-ups a day. I wouldn't have the time. I wouldn't have the time. Palmer says the real question is if we had got, this is a great question from Palmer, actually. He said, the real question is if we had got Conor Gallagher on loan from Madrid, do you think he would have made an impact? And I think this is the thing, isn't it? It's almost like what Patrick Lynch said. Like, we'll get locked in on this now. Was Amorim looking to let Mainoo have what he wanted and then bring Conor Gallagher in? I don't have a problem with that. Mainoo wanted to go on loan. And if Amorim agreed to it and we bring Conor Gallagher in, what's the problem? However, would he have made an impact? I think Conor Gallagher is a player I've personally always liked. I couldn't understand why Chelsea got rid of him. I like Conor Gallagher. I think he's a very honest 7 out of 10 player. He's never going to be Declan Rice. He's never going to be Kimmich. But I certainly don't think he's like, you know, I'm trying to think of crap midfielders. No, I think he's a good player. And I think he would have helped us out. You know, he's very intense. He's very hardworking. I think fans would have liked him very quickly because I don't think we've got a midfielder like that who gets up and down the pitch. Just a very honest player. And much like we've seen with some of the Argentinian players that come in, like Martinez, I think, you know, it's quite a rarity to have a player like that, you know, who is English. I think he would have made, I think he would have made a difference. Yeah. I wouldn't have got rid of Mainoo to bring him in, but I would have liked him to come in. I mean, I'd have got rid of Casemiro for him, definitely. I'd have loaned Ugarte to Atletico Madrid as a swap deal to him. Yeah. I wouldn't get rid of Mainoo, not because I don't think that Conor Gallagher could give us something that Mainoo can't now, but I'm more interested in Mainoo in the future. I don't want him to go. But I definitely think he would have offered something to us, definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely. And it's a shame that we didn't do anything about it. I think you're always going to struggle if you're playing next to Bruno. It doesn't matter whether you're Caicedo or Conor Gallagher or Declan Rice. You're going to struggle next to Bruno. That's a symptom. But I think Conor Gallagher would have offered something to us, definitely. Bit of a revisionist history here, says Whittaker Boxing, but I was of the clear belief that United should have kept Van Nistelrooy and not made the same mistake again, which is to go after another European super coach, says Whittaker. I don't think Van Nistelrooy would have worked. You know, you look at what happened at Leicester. I thought he was sacked too soon. But Van Nistelrooy would have been another Ollie. And I don't think he would have achieved what Ollie did as well. I think it would have been a short-term, you know, mistake. But where I do agree with you is I firmly believe we shouldn't have brought Amrim in November. I think that was a mistake. I think we've burnt his reputation. And I know he says, oh, I got to look at a load of players. But you know what? That's a great point. And it's a shame it's at the end of the show. But I will say this. In the summer, on the US tour, Amrim spoke about how it was good to come in early because he learned about all the issues and now they can solve the issues. We didn't solve the issues. So why did he come in early? Mic drop. Absolutely. Like, I never liked the idea that we brought Amrim in November because he got burnt. Like, we lost so many games. He lost his aura. He lost his, you know, new signing sort of manager thing. And unfairly, people wanted him sacked before he'd even had a transfer window or a pre-season. Comes back from the summer break, says, you know what? It was a great thing that I had that time to assess the squad, even though we all know he didn't want the job till the summer. But it hasn't worked, has it? You came in November. You got absolutely slaughtered. The team got battered. And maybe it would have been worth it if all the problems had been solved that you found out. What's basically happened is you come in November, the team get battered, the press turn on you, some fans turn on you, but the positive is you know that midfield shit. You come back for pre-season, you want a midfielder, you don't get one. What was the point in November to the end of the season? Why did he have to go through all that if you weren't going to solve the problem he found? That we knew before he even came in. So where I would agree with you is we may as well have kept Van Nistelrooy till the summer as an interim or stick with Ten Hag till the summer, which is what I would have done. I would say here, thank you very much for the comment, by the way, because I never would have said it. I would question what was the point in Ineos and the Glazers' insistence that Ruben Amrim came in November? Why were they so obsessed with it? Because any advantage from that, they ignored. The only advantage was get to know the team, find the weaknesses that we can then know about going into the summer. Well, we knew about them, goalkeeper, midfielder. We didn't do anything about them. Goalkeeper, last day of the window. So I don't know why they were so insistent that he had to take the job in November. Look, if I was employing somebody to come and work as a chef in my restaurant, which I don't have, and I could get them in 6 weeks early, to, you know, learn about the place and everything like that instead of bringing them in opening night, of course I would. But if I'm not going to listen to any of the learnings, what's the point? And it's a great point there. Well done, that person who put the comment in. Why did they insist on Amrim coming in so early if they weren't going to give him the full backing he was going to learn he needed? And it's a great point. No point at all, says Red. And again, you know, you don't hear this being spoken about, do you? If I was sat there on one of these bloody talk shows or whatever, I would be saying, you know what, in hindsight, the media have turned on Amrim. People never shut up about his system or formation. There are certain fans in the United fan base who want him gone. And all of that is because Ineos and the Glazers brought him in November and hung him out to dry. And the only reason that would be worth it is if in the summer you listen to him and solve all the problems. And they haven't. So what was the point in that? In a way, they've burnt their own manager, haven't they? Naively. And he's under huge pressure now. And look, let's hope miracles can happen. I'm firmly behind him, but it's difficult. It is difficult. And all I... can I be the chef at the Goldbridge Arms, says Robert. If I was opening the Goldbridge Arms, you'd be a great chef, Robert.
Moro Casino America. like a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I can't remember what I was going to say now because Robert's just took it. But I think that the big concern I have is universally, you very rarely get rival fans, media, ex-players, and you, the United fans, all agreeing. Like, I speak to a Villa fan in the street. I speak to a mate who's a Liverpool fan. I'll turn the TV on. I'll read an ex-player, I'll come on here, and everybody is saying, why didn't they get a midfielder? Spoke about Paul Scholes last night, but everybody is saying, why didn't they get... And that is... You can brief Sky Sports that Jason Wilcox didn't want one, and Jason Wilcox can take one for the team, but Jason Wilcox needs sacking if he thinks we didn't need a midfielder, because everybody else in world football knows we needed one. And they've dropped the ball on that. And the trouble is... when you start losing games, I was speaking to a Villa fan, funnily enough, and they said, we've had a bad start to the season, but really, if we win the Europa League, we're back in the Champions League. That's all that matters. And I said, that's a great way to be. But when you're getting smacked up at home in the league, your fans will soon forget, well, if we win the Europa League, that's all that matters. It's the same with United. People now will be saying, it's not Amrim's fault. He didn't get a midfielder. I know, you know. We've said this many times before. In 2 months' time, when you're getting battered at home to Spurs, it ain't we didn't get a midfielder, it's Amrim out. Because people will go, well, you didn't get a midfielder, but you should still be doing this. And this is the problem. The owners get away with it all the time. Right, it's absolutely chucking it down with rain. Biblical, as I look out the window. But show us out the window. I would show you out the window. It's quite a nice view. But I've got my pants on the windowsill, so it'd just be inappropriate. I am wearing pants, by the way. Don't worry about that. There we go. But anyway, we're back at 2:08 show tonight. Fantastic show this morning. Really good conversation. If you're not watching live, get your comments in. Yeah, the only thing I would say is I don't think, and I'm going to stick to this, I don't think Amrim has said, get Maino out, get Gallagher in. I think he's just frustrated because he didn't get a midfielder. But I don't think it'll be like Sir Jim overruling him. I hope not, anyway. Take care, everyone. I'll speak to you in a bit.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.